Guardian Unlimited.
Let's speak about the final one of the 32 sonatas, the great Opus 111 in C minor. So we have had two works in the major key, and here we have a C minor one. Very important tonality for Beethoven, if you think of the Pathetic Sonata, Opus 13, or something like Sonata, Opus 30, number 2, or the third concerto. Or we could go on and on, or the Coriolan. So there are great C minor works by Beethoven, and it's no coincidence that he comes back to this key for the final sonata. If I mentioned Opus 13, the Pathetic Sonata, there we have a grave introduction with dotted rhythms reminiscent of a French ouverture. It because we have these exclamations with the these diminished seventh chords, and listen to the beginning of Opus 111. Dotted rhythms, papam, papam, papam. If you think of Bach's rum, this is the French ouverture, and it has the same rhythm. Now Beethoven has the three exclamations, and they represent the three diminished seventh chords. If I add the notes of those, so then we have the 12 tones. It's almost 12 tone music in that sense. Can sense already that the gravity of these chords and the 12 notes and these chords, they are like Atlas carrying the whole weight of the globe on his back. So we are going to have music of extreme gravity. And these, again, these are pictures of Dante's Inferno. Brum, brum, the tension of that. Beethoven's marking is maestoso, majestic, not a single word that would describe slowness. It's usually played very, very slowly because performers fear that the slower you play, the more seriously you will be taken. Well, when we come to the end of this section, which is very important because we will see that the diminished seventh chords will appear throughout the movement. But this maestoso introduction as such will never be heard again. Therefore, it's a very different construction from the opening movement of the Pathetic Sonata. And when we reached the dominance, you can have the feeling of expectation here. One hears the timpanist playing. And this tremolo in the bass, this is not a free trill, but it's demi-semi-quavers written out. And as Beethoven approaches the main allegro, allegro con brio ed appassionato, he does not write an accelerando. So that means that these 32nd notes, they don't make an accelerando, and they will correspond with the 16th notes in the main allegro part. So what we had as demi-semi-quavers, they will be semi-quavers in the main allegro. So let's see how that happens. Incredible dramatic feeling of genesis, creation out of nothing, out of chaos. And when Beethoven wants to write something very rhetorical and very emphatic, he uses unisono. So we have long passages in unison and spiced with sforzandi and with accents, which have to be really played to the extreme. There is nothing worse than when a performer tries to iron out these edges of Beethoven. I think I said that before, because I have to say it to myself too. So... these accents, they are almost unmusical. Every music teacher would say to the pupil, don't do those ugly accents, but he wants it. At last we have the theme in harmony. This is very reminiscent of the first movement of the Ninth Symphony, when the woodwinds are playing these repeated quavers. These little hesitations and ritardandi. Then back to the tempo. And here, as opposed to the unisons before, he is using now elements of fugato technique, counterpoint. Semi-quaver, and the counterpoint. And where I just stopped now, let me play it again. Second subject, which is like an island in this drama, the only lyrical element, and it's very, very short. He doesn't let us enjoy it too long. Let me play it again. Now a variation on it. Slower, adagio, but now the whole orchestra and the woodwinds here. And again, these very forceful unison passages with accent. Here, Beethoven repeats the whole exposition, which is his only exposition repeat in the final sonatas. I'm not going to play it now, so let's go on to the development section. Again, we have a long passage, piano very soft and in unison, and then it goes into a further fugato. Short fugato, only three themes, but we had a new theme made out of four notes. This is somehow related to our main theme. Yes, but in larger note values, augmented. And when we reach this everything is on the pedal point of G, which is the dominant of C minor, and if we think back of the diminished seventh chords of the beginning, we can hear them again here. You see, so the first one, the second one, and the third one, and so one more time. Recapitulation with Beethoven, it's never mechanical, so he doesn't give us the recapitulation in the original position, but again in extreme high and low of the keyboard and in quadruple octave, so yes, so the recapitulation then goes on in the more or less customary way, and the coda, like after the storm, when one gets very, very tired after a storm. Yum. Again, reminiscent of the D minor sonata, the Tempest sonata, this after the storm feeling. And I spoke a great deal now about this first movement because this is my only complaint about Thomas Mann's Dr. Faustus, who almost ignores this first movement and just writes about the Arietta, which is really one of the wonders of mankind. But I think the Arietta would not have this extraordinary effect on us without the preparation of this very dramatic, very dark first movement. Now, the Arietta.